Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. My special guest this evening is Marion Harkin, MEP for the sprawling Midlands Northwest constituency that takes in Donegal. One of the issues that she has been closely involved with in her time in the European Parliament has been the problems associated with some of the imported Brazilian beef that is not what it should be. I've been speaking to her about this, the Mercosur trade talks and Brexit and the possible implications for farmers in the Northwest. I began by asking her for her take on the many issues tied up with the importation of meat from Brazil, which has once again caught the headlines. Marion Harkin, public confidence in knowing what we eat is really paramount. So the fact that major questions about Brazilian beef imports has surfaced again is a matter of real concern. You've raised the issue in the European Parliament in Strasbourg earlier this month, and it's a topic that you're well acquainted with.
Indeed, because 10 years ago, the IFA and the Farmers' Journal went to Brazil and were able to find evidence, which they subsequently presented to the European Commission. Indeed, I was at the meeting in Brussels that day, and that actually led to the tightening up of regulations in regard to exporters of beef products from Brazil. And 10 years later, we see that, I suppose the only positive thing about this is that it's an investigation by the Brazilians themselves. But we see two issues arising. Number one, that some of the meat, and we include chicken meat in this, poultry as well as beef, that has been exported to the EU, there are issues around safety. Salmonella has been found in some of the products. Another bacteria called Streptococcus has been found, and there are serious questions around the safety of the products that have been exported. As well as that, they've also found prohibited substances in sausages and higher levels of starch and other products in poultry meat. So, you know, very serious questions around the products that are being exported to the EU. And the week before last in Strasbourg, we had the Commissioner for Health, Commissioner Andriukaitis, in the Parliament, and I and a number of other MEPs spoke very strongly to the Commissioner. I mean, he was telling all of us about the highest levels of safety, etc., that we have in the EU. But as I said, you know, what's the point in having those levels if EU consumers can't rely on the Commission to ensure that only safe food is imported into the EU? And of course, the other issue is our farmers. They have to compete. They have rules, regulations, and they have to ensure traceability and safety and quality from farm to fork. And in order to be competitive, they absolutely must know that whatever is being imported into the EU is of the same standard. And unfortunately, we find, once again, that's not the case with Brazil.
Yeah, and it's disheartening for many farmers in the Northwest. As you say, we have our quality assurance schemes. We have so much there, traceability. But if there's public confidence knocked right across Europe about beef, there is a knock-on effect for everyone.
There's a knock-on effect for everyone. Mind you, I suppose this has damaged and tarnished the image of Brazilian beef. So there may be some small opportunity for Irish beef producers, you know, to gain a stronger foothold in the market. But we know that people's memories are short. And we also know that some of these products will not be labelled either Brazilian beef or Irish beef. You know, you'll be talking about burgers and other meat processed, you know, products. And as I said, people's memories are short. But one of the points I made to Commissioner Andriukaitis was, when this scandal broke, China, Canada, Hong Kong, and quite a number of other countries moved immediately to ban imports of certain products from Brazil. Now, I know a lot of those restrictions have been relaxed since then, but the point I made was, you know, the EU was sitting on its hands while other countries were moving to protect their citizens. And sometimes I get the sense that, you know, we're not sending out the message loud and clear enough from the EU. This should not be happening. And it is unacceptable. And, you know, if this were happening in Ireland or elsewhere, the Commission would be down on top of everybody involved like a ton of bricks, and rightly so. Yep. But they shouldn't treat the Brazilians any different.
And where exactly are we now? What's the next step from the European perspective?
Well, the Commission are sending various missions. They're already taking place in a number of states. Rio de Janeiro, Santa Catarina, Sao Paulo, and others. And, sorry, that's not the Commission. That's the Brazilian authorities. But the Commission are finalising plans to carry out audits on Brazilian meatpacking establishments during the first half of May. But, you know, they are certainly moving on it now. But the question is, you know, how long has this been going on for? There is reason to believe that it could be upwards of 2 years, because this investigation is going on for a long time. Now, if it has been happening for 2 years or even a year, but it's certainly very likely to be up to 2 years, what has been happening in the meantime in regard to the system that we are supposed to have in place to protect EU citizens? Now, this isn't just, you know, a couple of processors or you know, factories in Brazil. This is systemic failure in controls. And there is plenty of evidence of official bribery right through the whole chain, from producer right up to top government officials. This is not a small investigation. This is a massive investigation involving, I think, upwards of 200 police personnel in Brazil. So that gives you an idea of the extent here. So my question is, what was happening at EU level? How come that all of this was going on, that there was this serious issue, and nobody anywhere in the EU had any idea of what was going on? It's simply not good enough. It's not good enough for consumers, and crucially, it is not good enough for producers.
Now, we hear a lot about trade deals. The Mercosur negotiations, they're still ongoing, which involve Brazil. Will these be affected by what's happened?
Well, they absolutely must be. Commissioner Hogan, when he was asked about this, said that they were two separate issues. But he did say, you know, I can't remember its exact words, but he gave the impression that, you know, some consideration would be taken of this and that we shouldn't be too ambitious, as it were. But, you know, they're not two separate issues. If you're going to do a trade deal with any country, you have to be able to trust their systems, and you also have to be able to trust your own systems. And both are seriously called into question here. And it has to be very much part of, you know, our negotiations. We cannot ignore this issue. Now, I know some people have called to get rid of it altogether, and it's easy to do that. But, you know, that's whistling in the wind. It's not going to be taken out of the negotiations entirely. But what we have to be sure is that the proposals in regard to significant imports, tariff-free, that they are reversed, and that this whole matter is looked at in the round. And another important point as well, after Brexit, we'll have 70 million fewer consumers in the EU. So therefore, any possibilities for importing tariff-free beef or poultry, you know, must take cognizance of that fact, as well as the fact that it has been shown on two occasions that we cannot trust the systems that have been set up.
And you mentioned Brexit there, and finally, Marion Harkin, what's your take, your reading of the situation with regard to whether we will end up with a hard border? Because obviously for the farming community, in particular in the Northwest, being a border region, the implications could be absolutely massive.
Absolutely. We, I suppose, are set back again because of the general election in the UK. We have to wait again while the Tory party sorts itself out, basically. And while, you know, Theresa May feels that she will have the support of the vast majority, if not all of her members, on the approach she takes. So the truth is, despite everything that has been said, we still really don't know the approach that the British are going to take. We won't know that until after the general election. There's pluses and minuses to that, but we have to wait and see. But I mean, two points I'd like to make here. Number one, I heard somebody, he was a Tory MP recently, I just can't remember his name, but he was on a national radio station, and he was very, I could almost say snidely, trying to force Ireland into a position to, if you like, support the UK, because he was saying things like, you know, we want to continue to import Irish beef, and it's up to, or at least the Irish can play a role to make sure that can happen. All of that is fine. But when he was asked about the possibility of the UK doing trade deals with South American countries, with Australia, with New Zealand, with other parts of the world for importing of beef, he sidestepped that issue. We all know Britain's attitude to importing food from around the globe. We all know the cheap food policy that has been put in place by the UK over many years. That is not going to change anytime soon. So, you know, using Ireland, if you like, as a shield for their own purposes, while at the same time going ahead with trade deals that could decimate Irish imports into the UK. I mean, we need to be careful that we're not caught in that crossfire, and that we don't get squeezed, if you like, you know, between competing interests. And another issue, which is very important, let's say you take a farmer in the family, and after Brexit, you will have a situation where farmers across the border may not be operating under the same rules, regulations, traceability, etc. We don't know that, but that's a possibility. So we have to be very careful that we don't damage the competitiveness of farmers south of the border, you know, whether you're in Inishowen or West Donegal or the Finn Valley or wherever. If you have to compete on a level playing field with farmers north of the border, then you have to make sure it's a level playing field. So that's another important issue. While we're trying to protect our exports, and that is, you know, number one and top priority for us, equally, we have to watch out for protecting the interests of our farmers and their competitiveness so that they are operating on a level playing field. This is a hugely complex area, and, you know, there'll be no quick solutions, and we need to be very careful with each step we take along this route.
Marion Harkin, MEP for the Midlands Northwest constituency. Just before we go, let me give you some advance notice of the East Donegal Livestock Co-op's annual general meeting. It will take place on Wednesday, the 3rd of May, in Friel's Hotel in Raphoe at 8 o'clock. Just time for the livestock prices, cattle prices, well, stronger prices based on increased demand. Steer base 4 euro to 4.05 euro a kilo, heifers 4.10 euro to 4.15 euro a kilo, young bulls R and U grade 4.05 euro a kilo, cows O and R grades 3.30 euro to 3.65 euro a kilo. Sheep prices, well, hoggets 5.05 euro to 5.20 euro to 23 kilos. Spring lamb 6.10 euro to 6.20 euro a kilo. Ewes making 3 euro a kilo. Well, that's it for this evening's edition of Farming News and Views. Until next week, many thanks for listening. From me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.